This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
They're pretty much the same, and there is truth to that. Although I'm taking a little bit of a different approach to this one than I did the last one. So I'm glad that not more were in the same. But those of you that were in the last one, bear with me, you may hear some of the same stuff, because they're very much the same. As Kendrick said, yes, we live in Chiang Mai, Thailand, which is right here. And see if I can steady that a little bit. And the region that MTM works, where I'm going to be drawing needs from, is primarily this region here. Perhaps you might say South Asia. Working in places like all over India, except the way south, Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar. Actually, Merle Flory, my partner right now, is in Laos, which is right here. He's my partner with MTM. We work in Cambodia and Indonesia. We have not worked in Bangladesh, and neither at this point have we worked in, there's one more on here I was thinking. No, I guess that pretty well, Malaysia. Yeah, we have not, although MTM does have an invitation to travel and do a leadership conference in Malaysia as well. So I'm going to be approaching it from the work that we do and the obligations that I sense that we as Anabaptist people have in this part of the world. And the work that we do is going into a location by invitation only. Were any of you in the MTM presentation? No. Okay, so I really feel that I need to let you know a little bit what we're doing so you see the perspective that I'm coming from. What we do is by invitation of native leaders, we go into a country and we do a pastoral training, basically making disciples as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28. He said, all power, exousia, is given unto me, Jesus said, and I'm giving it to you. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And that's what we're doing. And our vision is to empower them to reach, through Bible teaching, reach their own unreached people, versus, or the opposite would be sending in a foreign missionary. Now, am I saying that the way we do it is the only way? No, that's not what I'm saying. There's a place to send in foreign missionaries. Why am I sharing this with you? So you understand the perspective I'm going to come from today. I'm going to come a lot from the perspective of empowering our native brothers and sisters to reach the unreached. And through Bible teaching, here we sit as conservative Anabaptists. Most of us perhaps are the result of more than 15 generations of a faith and practice that works because we're saved, not to be saved, for the honor and glory of God. And so we have an obligation to go and make disciples, not only in South Asia, but world over, evangelizing and making disciples. But I'm coming from the making disciples perspective. And so I'm just going to shorten this right on down to Anabaptist obligations, okay? That was part of the title, so I'm just going to make it short. What are our obligations? Well, let's start with the region of South Asia. South Asia is part, now this says Southeast Asia, of the 1040 window. How many of you are familiar with the 1040 window? Most of you are. 10 degrees north, all the way extending up to 40 degrees north, from the Atlantic to the Pacific. In this region, now I'm going to be focusing more on this region right here. Not so much China, because we have not been doing any MTM conferences in China at this time. The invitation is there, by the way. But I have some real close connections in China, and they're saying it's not safe for you to come at this time. And he is saying, this brother is a dear brother, he works underground, and I've known him for many years, and he is saying when it opens up and it's safe. Now, when he says it's not safe, he's saying it's not only safe for MTM, for us, but it's also not safe for the Christians there. It's not just for us, it's also for them. So in this 1040 window, we have 2/3 of the world's population, 97% of the world's least evangelized. We have 85% of the world's poor. Now this is the 1040 window. We have the unreached, primarily the highest population of the world, Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist in the 1040 window. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but does that speak obligation right there? Those figures in themselves speak obligation. There is a great gospel need of the new life being preached and taught of Jesus Christ in this region of the world, the 1040 window. But that wasn't my assignment. My assignment was South Asia or Asia. So let's narrow it down to this part of the 1040 window. It is part of the 1040 window. In South Asia today, now I'm going to bring it right down to where my assignment was given. Home of 1/5 of the world's total population. 40% of the world's poorest people live in this region right here. Anabaptist obligation. There's great gospel needs. I like to suggest to you it's one of the great remaining gospel frontiers of the world in the 1040 window is South Asia. And of course, the other great gospel frontier of unreached people groups is in the Middle East. Muslims, which I also have a burden for, but that's not my subject today. Home of the unreached, this region, South Asia now, home of the unreached Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs. How many know what a Sikh is? A few know what a Sikh is. A Sikh is a sect of religious people that are in India. They wear the turban. They're unreached, and they're in this part of the world. They're right in this part of India. There's the Hindus. India, Hindu, primarily a Hindu country, except Northeast. Nepal, Hindu. Ricky knows about the Hindus of India. Good to have you in this class, Ricky, right? You might be able to help me a little bit here sometimes. We worked together a number of times in India. How many times did you go along on an MTM, Ricky?
We've done three conferences
together. I think we have. It's so great to have you in here. A little touch of home. of my heart, maybe, you might say, because I know it's your heart, too. And also, yes, Hindus, Buddhists, and Sikhs, Muslims, and countless tribal groups. When Ricky went along, we went into about, right in here, of Andhra Pradesh, India, lots of tribal groups. I have no idea how many there. Lots of them are unreached. But the native Christians are reaching out to them and taking the gospel to them. Furthermore, South Asia, 1.6 billion are unreached. In that circle right there. Half of the world's 2,329. Now I should have the reference there where I got that statistic and I don't have it. I'm sorry, it's not original with me, but there's people that count these unreached people groups. I don't know if it's Joshua Project, it may be. Half of the world's total of 2,329 unreached people groups are in this part of the world, half of them. More Anabaptist obligations of getting the gospel to them. And now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And we don't know how much time we have until the Lord Jesus will return. It is a great opportunity. It's an obligation that we have to reach out in some way, shape, or form. Some go by giving, others give by going. Did you catch that? Some go by giving in prayer and financially, others give by going. Some of us go. And I realize that God may not be calling all of you to go, but in some way, shape, or form, God is calling us in obligation to go. Be aware, be praying for these people, and be informed and praying for missionaries and support, whatever, so others can go. I couldn't help but think of Matthew 25 in Scripture, and cannot have a session like this without some word of God. I cannot do that. In Matthew 25, Jesus teaches the parable of the unprofitable servant. I'm just going to give you some basic challenges from this scripture in thinking of Anabaptist obligations in South Asia. The unprofitable servant, it says in Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15, for the kingdom of heaven, which is very much the same as the kingdom of God, which we profess to be part of through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. They were his goods, and they were given unto his people. And for one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2. And still another, he only gave 1. So we have 5 talents, we have 2 talents, and we have 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Of course, this is speaking about our master of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given talents, some 5, some 2, and some 1. Then he took his journey. He's gone, and he's on his journey right now. He's gone. And here we sit with talents. What is this talent? It's a several ability. It means a personal ability. It means the word several is used in other places. It's interpreted as private, his own. It's alone. It's something that he gave you when Christ moved into your heart by his Spirit. When you were born again, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. With his presence, by his Spirit, he gave you an ability, a talent. It's yours, and you are entrusted with it in a stewardship. Maybe you have 1. Maybe you have 2. Probably most of us in this room have 5. And if you don't believe that, you travel with me where I go, where they're just not as blessed as you are. They don't have as much as you. I just told the other class that my Asian brothers and sisters, they do so much with so little. And too many times, my dear people, not always, we do too little with so much in building his kingdom. Did you get that? You got it. They do so much with so little, and we do so little with so much. We're talking about abilities, talents. What are these several abilities? It means a strength. It means a power. It's power in action. The root word is dunamis. This morning in Collier's session, he talked about the exousia, which is another word for power. It's a different, that's an authority, it's a delegated influence, but this word is used other places as dunamis, supernatural power, Holy Spirit power. It's power beyond human ability that takes us out of our comfort zone in using it for his honor and for his glory. You have it in Christ Jesus, and I have it in Christ Jesus. It's invested in us for a period of time in a stewardship, and the day comes that we're going to give an accountability. And so it's dunamis, but it's used here in more of a universal sense. It is power over ability that can come from either physical or spiritual virtue, this talent. Some people say it's money, that's okay, but what are these talents? It's a certain weight or measurement of the master's goods. Belongs to him, it came from him, and he gave it to you to be used for him and building his kingdom. A gift from the Lord for his glory, for his kingdom building, if you would. And we're talking about Anabaptist obligations. What they received was solely, and what we receive is solely a gift from God. We don't decide if it's 1, 2, or 5. God decides how much he's going to give us, but he wants us to use it. Secondly, it was entrusted as a stewardship for only a season. And we're in that stewardship, every one of us right now in Christ Jesus. We're in that period of time. God anticipated that stewardship to be used for gain for him, his glory, and his kingdom building. And there will be a day of reckoning where an account will be given before the Lord who gave the talents, the several ability. We're going to give an answer. What have we done with it? How have we used it? Did we use it for his honor and for his glory? And we're going to give an account, and we see that at the end of this text. Rewards were decided by what they did with that several ability, that talent, whether they had one, two, or five. Eternal reward was determined by what was done with the stewardship. Now, what are these talents? I'm preaching, ain't I? Well, I can't really have a session without preaching, and I make no apologies for that. I'm here to encourage people into missions. Know the Lord Jesus and make him known. Use your talents and your ability for building his kingdom right where you are, right at home, beginning at home, right where you are. Well, what are they? Well, I suggest you there's five key areas that God has invested in every one of us. Number one, genetic ability. You know, we are, many of us are from German descent. We're many years our genetic heritage makes us a people that are very adamant about what we do. Most of us are. We're very enthused in what we do. We have great abilities. Not everybody has that. And God invested that in us, genetic ability. My father said what he taught me, you do it wholeheartedly or you don't do it at all. If it's not worth doing wholeheartedly, it's not worth doing, period. We've been taught that. It's genetic ability. And that brings me right into the next one, experiential ability. Those things we've learned over the years that God orchestrated your circumstances and situation. Like Moses, God took him 40 years on the backside of the desert to unlearn Egypt. That's experiential ability. Joseph and his brothers down there also in Egypt. It's what we experience. God wants us to use all that learning experience. Many things I could say here, but I want to get into some storytelling. And he wants us to use all those things that God has invested us in. Psalm 139, how he had his hand over us, even from our mother's womb, as he put the genes together. And I'm not a genetic engineer, and I don't understand all those things. But God did that from your mother's womb with a work for you to do. He's going to invest in you. He has something for you and I to do. Experiential ability, resource ability. This one I know we have the five talents. If you don't believe me, go with me. We have the five. The U.S. dollar that you have in your pocket will work in every country. I have found it so. Everywhere. They love the Big Bens. You know what the Big Bens are? They love them. They will always take them at the banks and get them converted to your native currency. We have the five, and we have a lot of it. A lot of it. If you don't believe me, and we go with me and see how South Asia, how poor these people are. But many times they're more content than we are. Far more content than we are. And that one I know we have the five. But too many times we turn it inward and it's all about me, my comfort, my pleasure, my fun, rather than using it to invest in God's kingdom. May the Lord help us to know where those that in wisdom and all of that. And then there's the spiritual gifts ability that it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, that we have a measure of Christ. And really, what this talent, what this is saying here in the talents in Matthew chapter 25, this parable, Jesus is saying, take that spiritual gift that you have and increase it. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. That's what happens with the guy that buries his. He loses it. He loses everything. Use it or lose it. And so he's encouraging us to make it multiply, make our spiritual gifts multiply by using them. The one that had two, the one that had five, they doubled. They used it and it multiplied. So that works in spiritual gifts too, by the way. Use it or lose it. Make it multiply. That's what I'm saying. So, and then last but not least is our Anabaptist heritage. My dear people, this one too, we have a rich heritage. And did God gift that to you and me just to sit on it and say, well, this is nice. I'm glad for my Anabaptist heritage. I don't have to wrestle through many of the challenges in knowing how to walk with God because it's been basically handed down to us, a faith and practice that has reality to it in following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are rich in that. Many times as I go to these parts of the world, they will tell me, Pastor, where have you been? In fact, they say they are a little more straightforward in that. They say, where in the world have you been? Maybe they're more prophetic than we ever want to admit. Maybe we're more of the world than we want to admit. Why haven't you come a long time and shown us this kind of faith and practice that has reality to it? Please come again. We have obligation to meet that need. And going again and again and teaching them and giving them an example of the Christian life. Many times they will tell, and Ricky, you've heard this, I'm sure. We have never heard your teaching like this. I've tried to figure out what they're saying. Have you figured it out, Ricky? They've never heard the full gospel. That's exactly right. Thank you for that, Ricky. The church is a mile long and it's only an inch deep. And we have an obligation to teach them like Jesus said in Matthew 28. They're hungry for it. They're desiring it. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be. That's who they are. We have an obligation to meet that need. So you can see where I'm coming from. Yes. South Asia is the most diverse region of the world, in the world. It is home for the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and much more, as I already said. Now I'm going to tell you some stories of just to give you a picture of the obligations that we have. And we've had the joy of being in that context for the last 8.5 years. I want to tell you a little bit about Tony and Anesta. That's who we have up here. Tony's father is American. I think his father was part of the Vietnamese War. And his wife is, Tony is American and his mother is Vietnamese, yes. Anesta is part Thai. And I'm sorry, the picture is not very good here. And she's part Laotian or Laos, Lao. And they live in Bangkok, Thailand. Well, we're often out in the different parts of the world and have the joy to rub shoulders and learn from these Asian Christians in this part of the world. Where is my, back there you are. I'm looking for these cards. Oh, I'm not worried. How much time do I have yet?
20 minutes.
Thank you. I don't want to run over time. I'd like to have some time for questions and answers too. Well, I met Tony first on the streets of Chiang Mai. Tony's preaching. He's a street preacher. So he's native, you could say, even though it's part Vietnam, part American. And we befriended him and we had him come to our house for a meal. And we're sitting there, and he's asking questions. Now, this is a personal relationship. This is not in a conference. He's asking some questions. He didn't always look this way, neither did she. And talking about Anabaptist obligations. And by the grace of God and the mercy of God, we'd have opportunity to minister to many people in some of the obligations that I feel that we have. And Tony said, I don't understand the scriptures. I don't understand 1 Corinthians 11. I got my Bible out and I opened my Bible and I just started doing an expository teaching, line by line, 1 Corinthians 11. His wife is sitting there with just beautiful Asian black flowing hair. And as I'm talking about the different word meanings there in 1 Corinthians 11, she starts taking her hair and she starts twirling it around in the back. And Naomi's sitting there and she's sort of watching this. And Naomi says, would you like me to help you? And she said, please. And so Naomi gets there behind her and helps put the hair up in a bun and to make a long story. See, and we're talking about being an example to them, to the example of the believers. This is an obligation we have. And by the time, to make a long story short, by the time the evening was over, Anesta went out of the room with her. Where'd you get the veil? She had some extra ones, and she helped her get her head beautifully veiled. It's been veiled ever since. We follow them very much. They live in Bangkok, we live in Chiang Mai. Sometime later, they were in our house again. And this time, Tony is saying, I like the way you wear button shirts and all that. And he said, why do you do that? And I told him, and to make a long story short, that was the end of the necktie. Ever since then, he dresses modest. He looks like an Anabaptist. He's not an Anabaptist. Not really. But he does. He looks like one, don't he? He even got a beard. But the next time they came into our house, they were asking, Ernesto was asking for modest dresses. You helped me a little bit. How did you help her with the dress?
I gave her some.
You gave her some? And ever since that, Ernesto, Tony doesn't wear a necktie anymore. Did I preach to him? No. Not really. I did some expounding from the scripture, but it was our example that influenced them. And I did it from the scripture. I didn't talk about Anabaptists. I never even used the term Anabaptist. I didn't need to. I just opened the scripture and explained it from the scripture. This is an obligation we have, teaching them. And it's best to empower native Christians to reach their own people than to do the work for them. Is that okay? And I want you to know that's the work we do, so that's the perspective I'm coming to. Keep foreign profile as low as possible. Did we hear that at this conference somewhere? I think we did, if you were in one of the sessions. I don't remember who it was. Who was it? It's a phrase I'm quoting. I think it was James Yoder.
No.
It was somebody here.
Dwayne Eby, maybe?
Huh?
Dwayne Eby?
I'm not sure, but it was someone, but I like that term, because I'm very much a believer in that. Empower them through their lives and faith and practice and teaching. I'm very, very adamant about that. Today, that's Tony's family. There's Ernesto. His daughter's now, both his daughters are beautifully veiled. And Tony goes out on the streets of Bangkok and he preaches. There he is. I tell you, he is a powerful street preacher. He goes out there on the streets, he opens his Bible and he preaches on the streets of Bangkok. Just there he is. And he's got a voice like thunder. He's preaching the gospel to his own people. He knows the Thai language very fluently. He knows English. And he's making an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ in Thailand, which is the most gospel-unreached nation in all of Southeast Asia. Thailand is less than half of 1% Christian. And he's making an impact just because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we had the blessed privilege to influence. And we walked through some obligation to help them in faith and practice that honors the scripture and, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at his beautiful daughters. Wasn't always that way. Blessed be God. And he has a following. We've seen recently some pictures. There's people that he has going with him now, and they look right like them. Now he is teaching his people, just like Paul told Timothy. Paul said, the things that you've heard of me and other faithful witnesses, find faithful men, teach them that they may teach others. That's what he's doing, teaching others. Just our conservative Anabaptist witness advantage in Asia, real quickly. Age and seniority is greatly honored. Something we're losing in America, but they honor seniority, age. Someone that has experience, either a gray hair, or no hair. They honor that. The marriage value is still mostly good, but rapidly declining. We have obligations to teach them the word of God and that they would follow the Lord Jesus wholly, like Caleb did, Joshua did. They wholly followed the Lord. We have obligations to help them and teach them, lest they've... Our strong home values. Asia is far more relational than we are. We're relational. We believe in brotherhood accountability. And the stage is much more appropriate for that in this part of the world because, you know, you come with me to Thailand and many of the countries, you'll never find an old people's home. Why? They would hardly believe that we would put our old people in a home. They take care of their old people right in their homes. They're there for them. They're relational. They would not understand. Somebody has asked me recently about, you know, starting some old people's home ministry in this part of the world. I said, forget it. It's no need. They take care of their old people because they're relational. Yeah, very strong. And we're relational. We believe in brotherhood accountability. A faith in practice with reality. We hear it all the time in this part of the world. Your teaching is different. We have never heard teaching like this. I don't know what's different. I've been to seminary. I've heard pastors say. I've been to Bible school. I've heard pastors say. I'm trying to figure out what's different. I don't know. Other than I'm convinced it's not so much what we're teaching, but our life behind it shouts amen. Because we're living it. It's not coming from the head. It's coming from a life. It's coming from our heart. We as conservative Anabaptists believe this. We believe in following the Lord Jesus with a whole heart. Separate ourselves from sin and the world. And so when we preach these things that we've had amongst us for 15 generations, it's like the Lord witnesses and says, this is a me, because there's a life behind what is being taught. It's not just theory. Concepts comes from the heart and the life. We have an obligation. And you know what staggers me, my dear, especially young people here? As I come to America, these people are saying, come and teach us. Come and help us. And come and teach these things. Where have you been? And I come over here, and the very things that we as conservative Anabaptists hold dear, our people are throwing it off. They're throwing it away. They're saying it's not for today. It's old. Well, I'm here to tell us, if we had a purpose for it, maybe we wouldn't see it that way. Well, the purpose is the obligation that I'm telling you about. The purpose is God says, I gave that to you as a talent. I gave that to you as a several ability, and you have an obligation. Go and use it or lose it. Maybe we're not helping our young people enough in understanding this, and they lose it. The purpose is that we would help others in teaching and using our talents, using our abilities to help those that are needy and hungry for what we have. And we have so much, dear people. Whether it's the physical, whether it's the resource, whether it's the experiential, or whether it's the genetic. We are blessed of the blessed. We have it. What are we doing with it? Hopefully we're not burying it like this guy did. This guy here in Matthew 25, he buried it. Still 10. Good. Yes. They need an explanatory or an experiential faith. This was up in India. I do this from time to time when I teach on the marriage and the family. I literally wash my wife's feet. And I have seen this many times when I do this. There's not a dry eye. They've never seen that kind of example of a man. I'm using Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul tells the church at Ephesus, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Thank you, brother. I was watching for it. Recently in Nepal, when I did that, two pastors came forth with tears. So we've never seen this kind of example. What an opportunity and an even obligation that we have to help our South Asian Christians, empowering them in Jesus Christ and in the faith and practice that we've had for many years, that they would move out and reach their own unreached people. That is my vision. And that's why I approach it from that direction. Yeah, there's sometimes we don't have dry eyes either in the midst of what God is doing amongst these people. It's beautiful, and I feel privileged to be part of it. It's wonderful. But I'm here to answer the call that we have an obligation to help them. Okay. Oh, here's another one. Naomi, sometimes people ask her, what does she do while I'm teaching? Well, you can see what she does. What do you call that?
Stitching.
She sits in the back somewhere, or sometimes in the front, and she stitches. Look at those sisters just gathering around her. What are you doing? Again, Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman works with her hands. They want to learn. They want to be taught. These ladies, these Indian ladies, this was in India. Now, this is Rosa King. She was with us as a young lady, as one of the team. But they want to learn. Again, be an example to them, an example to the believers. Working with your hands, teaching our faith and practice. All right. Furthermore, real quick, you have an American passport. How many have an American passport? Take you into every country. Every country in the world, bar none. I'm not talking about if we'll get you out. But there's only one that it may not get you out. You have, how many have more than eighth grade education? You're learned. You have so much. Yes. Strong work ethic. I talked about that one. These are all things that God has invested in us as a several ability, a talent. Yes. Abundant USD. You may think you don't have that, but you do. You have the five on that. You don't believe that. You come with me. You have it. We have an obligation, young people, old people. That's me. Abundant USD. How many of you speak English language? Uh-huh. All of you. How many of you speak more than one language? A few of you. Good for you. The English language is the business language of the world. The English language is the tourist language of the world. The English language is the airline language of the world. I travel the airlines of the world. I never have yet had an airline that they didn't give the safety announcements in English. And also the native language. You have it. I work with these, even in South Asia, many of them. They want to learn English. You have it. You are ready to go. You can be used of the Lord in using your talent. English language. And, of course, the one I focused on a lot. Anabaptist obligations are faith and practice. We have an obligation to help build the Church of Jesus Christ in one way or another in this part of the world. Now, I know there's many more, but I had to look at it from the direction of where my vision and passion is. So thank you for hearing it that way. Any questions? Thank you for your attention.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.